Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings. It's Mercury Retrograde. Okay. I was locked in to a Skype chat call, but I am back. So welcome, everyone, and welcome everyone that is in the chat room. Welcome everyone that is listening by phone. I'm really, really excited to connect you all with Alan Okun, and we will be doing that in just a little bit. We're actually traversing the wireless waves and ether waves to get to Portugal. So now all of you, let me just explain, if you want to call in with questions or comments, the number is 347-539-5122. And you can also use that number to listen as well. And I just want to check sound with everyone. How is the sound? Putting that in the sacred space of empowerment room. If someone can give me some feedback, letting me know that you can hear all that's going on. And let's see. Okay, great, Alison. Thanks so much, and welcome again, everyone. Those of you that are new to Awakenings, it is a live internet talk radio program that focuses on the process of spiritual awakening in all its forms. It's where we connect with people that are awake or awakening and taking this state into their everyday lives and sharing their awakened state through their process, their path, their creativity, their career, just essentially their soul's expression. And definitely, our guest today definitely does do just that. In fact, I've got a tattered book here, Soul-Centered Astrology, that has been with me for many years that I have reread and reread and reread because there are just kernels of great information. So let's see if we can get a hold of Alan. Add to conference. This is what I love about live, and plus with the Mercury retrograde, this is a wonderful meditation on just allowing. And there's the familiar ring.
Hello.
Alan, hello. We did it.
We did it. Are we connected?
We are connected. I love it. I have to share with you what happened is I guess we did connect in with the Skype, and then also I didn't know that it stayed connected, so I actually locked myself out of the switcher. So And it
well, Mercury is still retrograde, you know.
I think, yes, till when, the 30th?
Yes, thank God. No, it goes direct on the 31st and not a moment too soon. Those of us in communication and media really suffer when Mercury is retrograde.
Yeah. Have you noticed this one seems to be, was just really, I don't know the word for it. This one was really
nasty.
Nasty, yeah. That's a good word for it. Absolutely.
I'm closing my windows because outside of my door there's a beautiful samba concert taking place.
Oh, wonderful.
In the street. It is a very warm evening here in Lisbon, and I live on a no-traffic street, and musicians gather all the time on my street. And so right now they're playing samba music and outside, and people are standing around and dancing, and there's a woman who has a full-size puppet, and she's listening to the samba with a full-size puppet. It's kind of neat.
That is great. Well, I want to also hear how you got there, because I knew you were in New Mexico, right, for a while?
32 years in New Mexico.
Wow.
And I'm going back.
Oh, you are? Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. I've been living here for 3 years and loving it. Just loving it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I teach at the largest astrology school in Europe. I speak fluent Portuguese. I have a gorgeous apartment in the coolest part of town. But I want to go home.
Yeah.
It's time.
Well, you know,
and now that Obama is in office, I just was in the United States for a month. I just got back day before yesterday, and I was in America for a month, and the energy is so different now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We can breathe again.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we have a mutual acquaintance friend, Risa DeAngelis.
Oh, how is she? I understood she was not well.
Yeah, getting better, though. Getting better.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. That lady is a real server and a beautiful person, so I wish her well.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell her that we chatted. She's come on a couple of times, and we have the wonderful soul-centered synchronicity of the Tibetan master and the spiritual hierarchy. So, yeah, we're all coming back together.
You send her my love and blessings, would you?
I will. Well, I know everyone, we've got packed chat, packed phone, you know, switchboard. I know so many people know of you and have such a strong connection, but I do want to do a little formal, if you just bear with me, intro to just let
of
those.
Of course.
Okay. That's how we do. We roll here. It kind of everything flows, but I do want to share a little bit. To meet your speaker lecturer, we're going to be talking with Alan Okin, who's a speaker, teacher, lecturer in the field of metaphysics and astrology, but I would say really a being of service, a prolific writer, a teacher and sharer of information with words on his workshops and seminars, as well as travels to sacred sites. A few of his books, A Complete Guide to Astrology, Rulers of the Horoscope, Houses of the Horoscope, and one of my all-time favorites, and like I had said earlier, that's tattered because I reread it and reread it, is Soul-Centered Astrology. That is the Bible to me. So,
oh, bless you.
Oh, yeah. So, Alan, I really want to welcome you, just a heartfelt welcome to Awakenings.
Thank you.
And thanks for taking the time. I know you're just not even just busy, but extremely busy.
Extremely busy. I just got back from a tour of Canada and the United States the day before yesterday. I spent yesterday recuperating from the jet lag. Today I started at 10 o'clock this morning in front of my desk. I haven't stopped. It's 8 o'clock here, almost 8. Yeah, it's 8 o'clock here in Portugal. I leave for Israel on the 11th of June, and I'm thrilled. I've never been there before, and I'm just thrilled to go to the Holy Land. And I'll be speaking there, and also I'm going to take some time and do a tour of the country. So when I get back here, and I'll be here for 4 weeks, 1 week of which about a dozen or 15 people are coming from one as far away as Beijing. I think she's the only Chinese woman who practices Western astrology in China. I would go so far as to say that. And or one of the only ones. And she has a TV program in Shanghai and in Beijing where she talks about astrology. So she's coming here to study with me, and a lady from Australia and people from all different countries. We're going to be studying soul-centered astrology together, and then I take off for Indonesia. So it's pretty busy in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm glad you're coming back stateside, Douglas. Hopefully you'll do some classes as well here.
I would love to. Me too. I'm going to go back. I'll move for the neighbors. I'm going to move back to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I love Santa Fe as well. It's close. It's a drive away. It's a nice road trip. And go to Ojo Caliente and the mineral bath, mineral spa.
Yeah, very special.
Now, Alan, for those, and by the way, we do have callers. I will be getting to your calls. I just want to chat a little bit first. And also, Alan, just to put on the website, what is the best site to get you? Is it alanoken.com?
Well, yeah, there are two. It's www.alanoken.com. That's my personal website. And then on June the 12th, I'm working with John Edward, the very well-known psychic and medium, and we and a crew of about 15 of us have put together a website called Infinite Quest, www.infinitequest.com, which is an internet protocol television station. I mean, cutting-edge technology, and we have about 40 or more contributors from all the different schools of metaphysics. So Infinite Quest is going to be quite the project, and that's what's really taking a great deal of my time. Happily, I was just in New York looking in the studios on it. John Edward is an amazing man. He is the most, really a loving and kind human being. You know, I was very askance about mediumship, you know, all my life, but after meeting John, watching him work and working with him, the guy is an honest man, and he knows what he's doing. He's beautiful soul.
He's probably the only one that I would give, because I also do mediumship work. He's the only one that I would give that he's the validity. That actually,
yeah, he's modest.
Very modest.
There's no glamour around the guy.
No glamour. He's not coming from that illusion, and is really, really dialed in, and a lot of integrity.
That's it. And, you know, and so we're working together. I'm old enough to be his father, and we're working together. I'm the executive producer of the astrology portion of Infinite Quest, just about 30% of the site, and working with a fabulous group of people he's put together out of New York, out of Long Island, New York. So anyway, I just want our listeners to know that they're very welcome to join Infinite Quest when we launch on June the 12th.
June the 12th, okay. Well, maybe we'll have you back on after it launches as well. Because I put that in, I went to the site actually, but you can't, since it hasn't launched, it's just kind of a coming soon.
Yeah, that's right. To give you, you know, guess who did the horoscope for the launch time? So
good. So, very small. Okay, got it.
Right now it says, you know, 13 days, 7 hours, and 14 minutes to launch, you know, because I drew the chart up, I think, for 3:23 p.m. New York time on June the 12th.
Okay. Looks great, though. It looks like the energy of it. You can feel the energy of what's behind it, though, just even going to the site. So that will be June 12th is the infinitequest.com, but if you want to reach Alan before then, you can go to alanoken.com. Alan, if you could share a little bit with us what soul-centered astrology is,
sure,
would be great.
Well, you're very kind, and I appreciate the opportunity to share this. You know, when I started doing astrology 42 years ago, the question on my mind and all my clients' minds was, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking for a place to identify ourselves relative to the backdrop of the cosmos. And now, most people know who they are, for good or bad, we know who we are. We're asking, what is our path? What is our direction? Not so much for vocation. Some people come to me for vocational guidance, certainly. But a lot of people want to know, what's the path of my soul? Why was I incarnated in this particular incarnation? And what is the relationship between my soul and my personality? How do I support myself? And how do I interfere with my own process? And how do I align my lower self and my higher self so there's one self?
Mm-hmm.
And soul-centered astrology addresses those particular issues about the interrelationship between that which we could call the soul self and what we could call the personality self, ego with a small e, ego with a large e, in order that people have a surer focus to their life orientation and their higher destiny. So that's what soul-centered astrology is in a nutshell, except for one major factor. The application in terms of how to read it in a horoscope, that I put together based on thousands of years of other astrologers' work. But the spirit behind the whole thing is the master DK, Dwal Kool, who wrote the book Esoteric Astrology. And in essence, I've been a student of Dwal Kool since I can remember, since 1970, really. I've been consciously working with his material. And he said that on the fourth page of Esoteric Astrology, that he was looking for advanced astrological thinkers who could take his work and apply it and make use of it. So along with a few other esoteric astrologers, I studied a whole bunch and prayed a whole bunch and worked out a system which I think has some practical application in terms of how we can put the Master Tibetan's work into practice. So my book is like a primer, if you will, to reading Esoteric Astrology by Dwal Kool.
Yeah, that is a great book.
It's an Alice Bailey book.
Yes, that... And anybody that wants to check that out. I mean, your book, though, too, I guess you could say primer, but I don't know. To me, it's very thorough and really explains in people language what is going on. And I like how you broke it down into the houses, what the difference in a traditional, let's say, the first house, what that representation would be, the physical body, its form, mm-hmm. and then the soul-centered, the physical appearance, and then the soul-centered would be the aura.
Mm-hmm.
And, Alan, and this is why I feel so blessed that we, connected. It's on Awakenings here, it's so timely right now.
Well, what I tried to do in soul-centered astrology was to reflect to people that what we have in common as we walk the path, that we're going to encounter this set of circumstances, we're going to encounter this frame of reference, we're going to encounter these kinds of challenges. So, the first part of the book is really not astrological. It really is more about the paradigm of the shifting times between the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius. And those of us who are the first generation of conscious shapeshifters, if you will, who are moving from, one frame of reference, which is Piscean, to an Aquarian frame of reference. And, we're just the first generation. The age is just beginning, and it's 2,000 years to go. So at this stage, there are certain very specific problems. There are certain very specific challenges, both as to individuals, to nations, and to the collective humanity. And I tried to speak about that a bit in that book. I speak about it all the time in my lectures.
And do you find it timely as well? Do you find that right now, I mean, what you've been writing about, what you've been teaching and sharing right now is so pivotal. It's even more pivotal.
Absolutely. I mean, I wrote that book in 1980-something. I mean, it was published in 88. I wrote it in 86 or 87. And so 20 years later, you know, it's even more obvious. But more important than what Alan Oaken said 20 years ago is what the Master Tibetan said when he first wrote that book in the 1930s. And when we read his book now, and we are almost 80 years later, it's amazing about, you know, what he says relative to how he sees what the time is going to bring to us and what the time is bringing to us. I mean, that to me is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I'm just a student of his. I have my own plans. I'm a man of my time. So the language I write in is modern language. The approach I have is the approach of someone who lived through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, etc. So, you know, I'm a modern person, mm-hmm. but I'm a student of this man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. It's a language that's needed right now to hear it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean, the filtering out from the Tibetan. It's, you know, we are at that crossroads of that.
Absolutely.
Right? The soul alignment.
Absolutely.
That is.
It's the fulcrum right now, you know, and thank the gods and goddesses that America woke up enough to elect Mr. and Mrs. Obama to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And that now humanity has brought in representatives of the New Age person. And I speak of both of them because they are a team, and she is just as fantastic as he is.
Amazing. And I love listening to them and even some other people that are public right now, and some of them are aware of their words and some of them are not so much. You can hear the language shifting.
That's correct.
You can hear the spiritual impression and the soul's imprint coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I watch, you know, TV in an amazement that I can even see on the people's faces that they're not, did I say that? Did I actually, I did say that. Yeah, we are talking about it, right? It's working on them through them, you know. It's like,
yeah, who, me? Yes, you. If not you, who else?
Exactly.
You know, it's funny because I had a spiritual teacher who, for many, many years, she's passed on now, but I knew her until she was in her mid-90s, and she helped me a lot for about 30 years. And I was in a place where I was very down on myself and just not in your most positive Alan form. And I said, you know, why do I have this work? I mean, why am I supposed to be one of the numbers of carriers of light, you know, on this planet right now? I mean, just it's hard work.
Yeah.
And she said, well, my dear, it's because they don't have anybody else. And you know, I mean, my contribution is very small. I'm just one little person doing his job. You know, I don't pretend to be anything more than a student of the great master. And I do know how to read a horoscope, and I can speak Portuguese pretty well. But I'm just one tiny drop in an ocean of lots of drops of wonderful men and women on this planet who are trying their best to help others. I'm no more than that.
Mm-hmm. And you're humble. And that's how you're truly of service. And that's how your light shines through more. Yes, but, and as you know, that there are soul groups or pods, you know, and within that is a collection of information that is needed to be disseminated.
That's right.
Right. So important. And, you know, in your work, whether you're just, you know, doing it in your corner, it filters out. I think one of the things is the languaging, that it's just so timely, that it's
mm-hmm.
the languaging needs to be put in a way that people can understand it, can hear it,
mm-hmm.
can digest it.
Absolutely. You know, the majority of people, there's a wonderful expression in French, it's It means to turn oneself around by one's own umbilical cord. And most people have their head in their belly button instead of meditating on it. Their head. And they're just so self-involved, you know, with emotional turmoil. And we're at a time where you've got to pluck your head out of your umbilicus and join other men of goodwill, men and women of goodwill, in some form of community service and some form of service.
I just spoke with that with a client I was working with yesterday, and I said, you've got emotional problems. Things are, you got to go into service. What is in front of you? You know,
that's right.
Isn't it? Your creativity, your service, what can you do in front of you? Because the days of wallowing, and I've been there, you know, it's been a while. I was there, you know, and the clearing the emotional body, getting clear, getting, you know, healing those wounds so we can really answer the call and be of service. We don't have the luxury anymore of wallowing.
No. And, you know, as Americans and as Western people, we have abundance. And even though the times are extremely difficult for so many of us, I mean, I travel a lot to Asia and to many parts of the world where there's real poverty, you know. I mean, where really people live on $50 a month, you know. And we have the luxury in the United States and in Western Europe to have existential problems.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is a, you know, we do. You know, and maybe in part of this transition, I think, is for people to, you know, that cooperate and band together and, like you say, the existential problems not be, you know, gazing in the navel, so to speak.
Yeah. Yes, the way out of your navel is through service.
Yeah. How important do you feel as we're, you know, moving 2012 and beyond, the service, being of service, conscious service?
Well, the underlining law of the age of Aquarius is the law of right human relationships. And the Bush administration had it wrong on many levels. What they tried to do was legislate morality. And they tried to legislate morality from a very fundamentalistic and very narrow and very prejudicial and very polarized perspective. And they also tried to legislate morality so that certain people's pockets could be filled. So on two levels, at least, they had it wrong. The law of right human relationships and the law of right human relations is categorized by such groups as Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, by UNESCO, by your local church group and your local temple group and your local civic group that is reaching out to help people build their houses, to protect women and children from insane husbands and fathers, or insane mothers, for that matter. I mean, it is, you know, as the expression is, you know, thinking globally and acting locally. I mean, that there's just what would happen now with the recent election is that so many people came out of the closet of laziness and started becoming active and sending out emails and walking out in the streets and talking to their neighbors and really moving, because if it weren't for that, the Obamas wouldn't have been elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people have gotten a taste of what community service is like, just because that election, this recent election, brought that out in us. And we have to continue that. The right human relations, that's the fundamental point. And, you know, and right now, you know, we're at the frontiers of ridding ourselves of the last prejudice, you know, that I know of, at least, which is against gay people.
Yeah. But,
I mean, you know, we've gotten rid of the things, in the most part, about, you know, anti-black and racism, you know, And now we have to move into sexism and get rid of that altogether. Mm-hmm. And but it's coming, you know, and soon all of humanity will be basically free of predominant prejudices.
Yeah.
And gosh, how nice that will be for us all.
Yeah. That whole thing. Well, you know, we're moving into the, I call them the COs, collaboration, cooperation, right? All those C, that coming together, that unit, the unifying force. I agree with you, but the last vestiges of that inequality has to really be, you know, rooted out, swept out. However, just
mm-hmm.
have to move on from that, because
move on.
Yeah.
You know, there are more important things than prejudice, you know, because one of the keynotes to consciousness is inclusivity.
Mm.
And the more inclusive we are, the more conscious we are. And that doesn't mean permissive, you know. I'm not talking about that, you know. I'm not saying, you know, let's elect a sexual predator to government office, you know. I mean, there are certain things, you know, there are certain natural, what should I say, rules
mm-hmm.
that the heart reveals as being correct. But and this one human family, that's what we're moving towards, one human family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the archetype of the Aquarian Age humanity. The United Nations is a prototype of something much greater, but it's only when the human heart is free of all prejudice that one human family can happen.
And in this time period of the soul alignment, you know, when you say the soul self or the personality self, this is a byproduct of this, right?
Absolutely.
So as we're coming more from the soul center, there would be less prejudice and more inclusivity?
The soul has no prejudices.
Yeah.
It does have discrimination. That
yeah.
was my point. That's
ah,
what I was trying to
okay, got yes,
ago.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to express a few minutes ago. You know, there's a, mm-hmm. I call it loving discrimination, conscious
mm-hmm.
discrimination. And that's discrimination based on quality of being and not quantity. And when we speak about quantity of being, we're talking about color. We're talking about
mm-hmm.
sexual orientation. We're talking about nationality.
Mm-hmm.
That's quantitative. When we speak about quality, we're speaking about the soul. So once the soul is awakened, then we begin to see life as energies.
Mm.
And we begin to see life not from a place of instinctive response, but of conscious choice.
Mm-hmm.
And once choices are made consciously, the choice is always for the greater good, always.
Mm. So in a sense, in our evolutionary path, or what if I'm hearing you right, we're refining more. It's more because you're
definitely.
Is that okay? So moving out of
definitely.
the quantity, which is more ego personality based, into
form based,
and okay, and form based, and into the qualities.
Yes, you know, there's a difference between uniform and unanimous. The
mm-hmm.
uniform is from the Latin uniforma, which means one form. And unanimous is from the Latin unianima, which means one soul.
Mm.
So, you know, the danger of the Aquarian Age is uniformity.
Mm.
And as we see, you know, everyone dressing alike, looking alike, you know, uniformity is very dangerous. That's what prevails in cults,
mm-hmm.
such as fundamentalist Christianity is a cult, you know. It's the uniformity of everybody saying the same words and eating the same diet and dressing the same way and et cetera and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to avoid the cult, but unanimous means that everybody can be whoever they want. They go to whatever church they want. They can do whatever they want, but there is a human spirit, an anima mundi, a soul of the world, which permeates through all conscious men and women. And even though the forms may be different, we don't identify form as God. We identify form as a vehicle to God,
mm-hmm.
and we identify with divine force, and we use different forms as a way to get there. we don't identify. You know, I've spoken, for example, I've spoken to people who practice microbiology, you know, that very highly specialized diet. They get so involved with what they're cooking that they forget what they're eating, and they forget why they're eating.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because it's confirming something for me, answering something, and I didn't quite know where it was coming from, and I'll share it with you and want to get your take on it. Twofold here, that I've noticed as we're getting the Aquarian age is evolving more, and you know, we're getting into the center of it, there seems to be more fear of this, you know, one world order, one order, or you know, one race, one heart, that the oneness that many of us are feeling seems to be frightening others.
That's true.
Yes. And then the other thing that I was noticing, and I thought, boy, this is a lower harmonic, that many people have been misinterpreting this oneness or the Aquarian age as now everyone is going to be doing this. Now everyone's going to be vegan or vegetarian. Now everyone's going to be doing yoga all the time. Now everyone's going to be... And I thought, well, I don't think so, not necessarily.
Well, you know, vegetarianism is great for those who practice it. It's
absolutely
great. The Dalai Lama eats meat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't mandate a way of being for everyone. And also there are periods where people become vegetarians and then their body changes and they start to eat meat and then they go back to vegetarianism again. I mean, it depends on what your constitution is like and how you move in life, and
yeah,
and different vibrations and different atmospheres require different food substances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Eskimos eat nothing but meat,
mm-hmm,
and they're holy people too.
Absolutely. So what is it? I mean, so part of what I'm hearing, maybe it's that flip side or the undercurrent, that some are feeling that in this movement that everyone is going to be a certain way. That, but what you were saying, the uniform.
Look, you know, I live in Europe, and well, I'll be here living here until the end of the year, and then I'm moving back to the United States after a wonderful experience here, but it's time to go home. And but here in Europe, and I've lived here before, and right now there is this European community, and it's very interesting because the euro is the currency. And euro coins are minted in each country. So if you reach your hand into your pocket and take out a pocket full of coins, on one side you'll have the same number, like 20 cents or 50 cents or 1 euro or 2 euros. But if you turn it around, you'll see that one coin was minted in France, one coin was minted in Germany, one coin was minted in Ireland, etc. And the circulation of those coins throughout all of Europe is very symbolic, that here we are all using the same currency, but it's coming from all these individual mints in these individual countries. So this orientation towards synthesis while still keeping your own identity, that is becoming somewhat successful here.
Mm. It is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the Portuguese are going to be Portuguese for God knows how long, but they have coins in their pocket that were minted in Ireland.
Ah, okay. So what do you feel is a remedy or a counterbalance for some people that are perhaps feeling that kind of a sweeping gesture? In other words, counterbalancing the uniformity.
Well, you find your own self. That's
mm-hmm,
number one. Now, the more individuated, not the more of an individual you are, because anybody can have purple hair.
Mm-hmm.
But the more individuated you become, the more the heart externalizes as the primary vehicle of conscious expression. That's what individuation is all about. So the more you individuate, the more universal you become.
Mm.
So it's not like you're some egocentric megalomania when you individuate. As you individuate, the more of me that I become, the more of you that I am.
Mm.
And I don't lose myself in you. I see myself in you. Namaste, namaskar, you know, I do, you know, bless the holy name that is in you.
Yeah.
So by me being me, it's unmistakable that I'm me, and at the same time, that self that is me is the same self that is you. And the only way that I can know that is by knowing myself as the self. And once I do that, then I have no fear of losing myself in uniformity.
There we go. Wow. Beautiful. Yes. And that is it. That is the fear. If we aren't connected to our center or know ourselves on that soul level, we do fear.
By knowing ourselves only on the level of lower ego, then the fear of separation is there. Then, you know, it's me against the world. Then, you know, l'état c'est moi, said Louis XIV. I am the state, you know, and everybody else, you're either with me or against me, you know. I mean, and that's the individualization of the lower self. And that becomes a very lonely, withdrawn, sad, abused, and abusive individual.
Mm-hmm.
Once the heart externalizes, then the self is secure in love. And once I am secure in love, then I can be with anyone at any time. But I have my own orientation. So I have my own sense of, you know, I, for example, I'll give you an example. You know, I mean, I give lectures, so I'm pretty open to the public. So people come up all the time and they talk to you, and a lot of people, they stick their straws into you and they try to dry out juice all the time. You have to put in certain frontiers. Mm-hmm. You have to put in certain, if they're unconscious to the fact that they're trying to siphon off your vitality, you have to be conscious that they're doing it and stop them.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you don't love them.
Mm-hmm.
But you stop them. I mean, like the other day, for example, I had just given like a 34th lecture in, you know, 30 days or something like that. And I'm pretty tired, and it's a break, and I'm taking a break, and I'm sitting down, you know, just by myself for 15 minutes, right? I'm pretty tired, it's obvious.
Yeah.
And a lady walks over to me and says, oh, I know you must be tired, and I know you must not want anyone to ask you any more questions, but I have this question. She takes out her horoscope, right? And I said, wait a minute. If you know that I'm tired, and if you know that I don't want to take any more questions, why are you asking me? Why don't you listen to your own intuition?
Yes.
That doesn't mean I didn't love her from the point of view of loving everyone. In fact, it took energy to stop her.
Yeah, probably more energy than just to go with just kind of roll, you know, it's like, but you were present in that moment, and, you know, that's part of what I'm hearing from you, being present in that moment to what was really going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, why don't you, I said to her, why don't you love me enough to let me be in rest?
Yeah.
That's what I said to her.
Oh,
why don't you just love me enough to let me be in rest?
Yeah.
And that gives someone a reflection about their own neediness and their own selfishness, even though they know that there's an exhaustion. It's difficult. It's very difficult because people have a rough time when they're in need. You know?
Yeah. What I find, and I don't know your feeling on this, but I find people have a rough time when in need, but if you have that presence to see that and to respond from the place that I know it's a rough time in need, but you can satisfy your own need.
Exactly.
Right? Somehow there's
if you can find the path to your own source, that will give you everything you need.
Absolutely.
Because it's the same source as everyone. And sometimes you do need a little help from somebody. Yeah. And sometimes you need a little push in the butt to get you going, you know. And sometimes the best way to help you get in touch with yourself is to be helpful to other people.
Yeah. I think part of what I'm hearing you say, or a great part, is that it's really about, if we're really in touch or in tune with ourselves, however cliché-ish that sounds, but it's really living that. And because we have to be you know, malleable, flexible, adaptable in these times. That's the next evolution is coming.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
It'll be different. I mean, for that moment with that woman, it was that one thing for you. Another time, it could be something else, and not to lock ourselves into these, you know, constraints of it's always this way or always that way, but how can I respond in the moment to what is really in front of me?
And that requires, as far as I'm concerned, finding your own energy lineage, you know, and which is also called the path. Because the path exists. There is a real thing called the path.
Mm-hmm.
And the stages on the path are the same for everyone. But the forms differ relative to personal karma. But the stages, the subjective reality of the unfolding of the path, is the same for everyone. That's why you can get together and talk. People from all the different backgrounds, Christian, Jew, Muslim, animist, Wicca, whatever it happens to be, if your heart is evolved and you're open, no matter what the form of your worship is, you will come together and be able to discuss your path. And everyone, no matter what their background, will nod and agree. Been there, done that. On the way to there, oh, thank you for showing me that's the next step. And then you can go back to your church, back to your temple, back to your bonfire, back to wherever it is that you worship.
Oof. I just got the most amazing image on that when you were speaking. Oh, my God. Wow. That's. I know that's where many of us are. I know that. I just know in my fiber of my being, that's where we're going, even as a collective, you know, to be able to, like you said earlier, the template is the United Nations, to be able to come together and then go with respect back to your respective individual or individuated forms.
Absolutely.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know, I was invited to teach once at an all-girls Catholic college in Louisville, Kentucky. The astrologer nuns invited me. There were two astrologer nuns who were heads of this college in Louisville, Kentucky. So they invited me down, and I talked to the women there. And then one of the nuns, bless her heart, said to one of the girls, why don't you take Alan to Gethsemane Monastery outside of Louisville where Thomas Merton used to live, and a very famous Catholic theologian. So she drove me over in her convertible, if you please, and we get there. She wasn't allowed in because only men could be behind the gate. So I went in there, to make a long story short, I had a lovely talk with the Father Confessor, and we walked around. He gave me a tour, and he said to me, you know, my son, you'd make a great Catholic. And I said, I would, Father. You're right. I also make a great Jew. I make a great Protestant, a great Buddhist, a great Jain, a great Sikh. And he said, that's impossible. I said, no, it's very possible. And the guy, God bless him, he jumped into the back of the seat, and his cassock is flowing as we're driving down the highway, and he's trying to convince me that I should become a Catholic, that it's impossible for me to be all of those.
Gosh. There's a little paradigm shift there, a little knock-knock to him.
And God bless him, because his heart was in the right place. He really believed he was trying to save my soul, you know. He really believed that. So I could only feel love for this man.
Yeah. Ellen, we got some callers. I'm going to open the lines here, see what people have to say or contribute. Hi, caller number one. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program. I think you're calling via computer or Skype. Okay, not hearing. Yes, it's you.
Hi.
Hello. Okay. Hello.
Hi, it's Tricia.
Hi, Tricia. Welcome
Hi.
To Awakening.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me there. I found Alan is just excellent. I love his philosophy and everything that goes with it. And I just wanted to add that, does he do any readings today or any astrology or?
Well, I'm not doing any readings on the telephone. If you'd like to arrange a private consultation with me, you're welcome to do that. at alanoken@att.net. Alan Oken, one word, A-L-A-N-O-K-E-N, at att.net.
Right.
At, let me see, Alan, att.net. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Okay. One of the
Tricia, go ahead.
Things that I often explain to people about how we are consciously evolving as a group, and even though you know we're talking about the individuals, that how I explain it in a very simple way was like it took the caveman a long time to work out that a round piece of wood made a wheel, and now we can't live without wheels. And in the 80s, if you'd said to someone, we're going to have this little cell phone that we can send up to a satellite and we'll all be talking all over the world, they couldn't comprehend it. And now I think our mind has evolved, or I'm talking about our children, these new children that are arriving on the planet, they're built in with the computer that was designed in the, like, how we are now. They're already built into the system. They've just evolved into that consciousness. And do you see that astrologically in a sense of like the Aquarian age of this advancement?
Well, there is a paradigm, and that is Aquarius Leo. And just as the previous age was Pisces Virgo, this is Aquarius Leo, which is the relationship of the individual to the group. And I love what you say about the cell phone, because to me the paradigm, a perfect example of the Aquarian age, is the cell phone. In other words, here I am in Portugal talking to Michelle in Los Angeles, and you're English. I don't know where you I think you're British. I don't know where you're calling from.
I'm in L.A.
You're in L.A. too? But New Zealand. Okay, cool.
Oh, New Zealand. I've been there. Great, beautiful country. Fabulous country. In any event, but you could have been calling in from New Zealand on Skype,
right.
You know? I mean, it's quite possible. And what I mean is that here I am with this little 4-inch device in my hand. I can call anybody in the world for peanuts or for free, depending on the program I'm subscribing to. And yet, if my battery runs out of juice, I got to plug into the electrical circuit. And if I don't pay my electrical bill, I can't plug in. So in order for me to be an individual with my own little world and 4 inches in the palm of my hand, I've got to pay my dues to the larger company. I've got to be plugged into a larger electrical circuit. And so that, to me, is the way the Aquarian age is. Each of us is our own individual universe, mini-universe, but we've got to be plugged into something bigger in order to get the juice.
Right.
And that's,
yeah,
to me, Leo Aquarius. And what you plug into, the quality of what you plug into, that's a major decision.
Right. But do you feel that with what I was saying about the children, that they're a lot of them are being born already plugged into much more conscious knowledge? You know, they're just coming.
Well, I think so, because the evolution of humanity, it works as synthesis. So everything that's been in the previous generations is already locked in, and they move to the next step. I mean, I just at a conference in Seattle, Washington, a few days ago, and I spoke to a 30-year-old astrologer who was extremely advanced, and then his friend was 24, and he was incredibly advanced. He was studying Hellenistic astrology, if you will, astrology of ancient Greece. I mean, these are very young people, and they're so advanced. Certainly.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things, if I may, that I find is because of it's also because of the resonant field, and we forget that it's the consciousness that's come before that's created or tilled the soil. So it's
that's right.
Yeah. I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I would say that they're all that are coming in are so advanced. I think that,
no, they're not.
No.
A lot of them are idiots. I mean,
yeah.
They can't read.
Well,
they don't want to read.
I think what's happening is the information is more available. I know for me, my parents, my family knew I was psychic from, age 4. There just wasn't as much information around. Now children, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, when their children start having an opening, instead of saying, though my parents were very embracing of it, they didn't have the language or the books or in the schools. Now you have that, or there's places for parents to take their children to get assistance or information on this. There's actually books on these kinds of things, you know. You know, DVDs, Baby Einstein, you know.
Well, I had my daughter was doing a test at school the other day, and she came home and she said to me, I spoke to my guides today, and I said, oh, well, that was nice. What did you say? And she said, well, I had this funny feeling that the answer wasn't right that I'd written down. So I said, guys, could you tell me the right answer? And I looked upwards, and I got this feeling that it was another one, so I wrote it down, and then I said, thank you. And I said, oh, I'm glad you said the thank you part. It's like,
last month I was in New York at John Edwards' house, and he has a six-year-old son, and he asked his six-year-old son to sit down and give Uncle Alan a reading, and that little boy just stopped being 6 years old, aligned himself, and John said to his son, all right now, my son, align yourself with your inner team, and you could see this little boy aligning himself, and the little boy gave me quite a lovely reading, 6 years old, if you please.
Wow.
So, I mean, there are advanced souls of every generation, you know, and then there are the masses.
Yeah.
Right. I just wanted to add one other thing, because a lot of people make reference to the last political party that was in power. But I write quite a bit, and I always sort of say, well, if it wasn't the consciousness of the people, he wouldn't have been there to start with. So when you judge him, you're really judging a lot of people. And because of what happened in that last cycle of the political party, it allowed us to evolve to the next level. Otherwise, we wouldn't have evolved. So everything.
Well, thank God we've evolved.
Yeah.
Thank God we've gone to the next level.
Yeah, but now we really appreciate the next level. But we wouldn't have appreciated it unless we had the experience to appreciate it.
Some of us.
No,
well,
I mean,
I got to share something.
Collective.
I can't be. Yes, it's all collective. But we're families. I always look at, you know, in many families, there is that one person. I don't know, the uncle, the aunt, the brother. There's somebody there that does certain things that you just go, oh, God, I hope they're not going to do that again, or I hope they're not showing up or whatever. Yes, we're a collective, but again, some of us, we don't all have to go through the same experiences. You know, another way I look at it is when you go on a hike, sometimes you have people that are a little slower and you have to wait for them. You know, it's, I guess it's how we wait. Maybe it's the attitude in which we wait, and maybe that's what you're, you know, speaking to. But we don't all have to go through the same experiences collectively. But yes, we in some ways were held back and from our brothers and sisters, and in some ways sometimes we're pulled forward by our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like you can't go back there and shoot the arrow at the person and say, I'm judging you because of that, because it people react upon things, you know, you put someone in power and they make a decision based on what they feel is right for everybody, and they were put there by everybody. They didn't arrive there without everybody putting them there, or massive amounts of people putting there, not everybody, but
yeah.
But I do feel that this is a much better cycle that we're in now, for sure. But anyway, well, those were my two thoughts. Oh, one question. Where are you going in Bali? I mean, in Indonesia. See, I already said Bali.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Bali. It's like the only place on the planet where I get total relaxation.
Do you know, I
so,
went to Bali. I went there first in 1974.
Lucky you.
Mm.
I was there, the first time was in 1983.
And then I went back again about 20 years later, and I'm dying to get back again. I know what you're saying about it. It's just, that was my opening. My spiritual opening was there, because I didn't come from any religion. My parents were not, I mean, they believed in God, but we weren't into any segregated kind of religion. So when I went to Bali, I just fell in love with the peacefulness and the living in a bamboo hut with no electricity and, you know,
that's very special. I'm taking my grandchildren with me this time.
Oh, yes.
And 25 years ago, I took my son, and now I'm going to take his son. So I'm very much looking forward. traveling with my two grandsons to Bali. It would be a wonderful experience for us.
Yeah. You know, this is really interesting. I went across to Java, which is like Bali, for any of people not listening. It's a Hindu island, and it's predominantly was created by the artists that fled there. And the other islands in Indonesia are Muslim islands, predominantly.
Mostly. A few are Christian. The ones that were colonized by the Portuguese are Christian.
Right. Mm. So in Bali, the interesting thing was that everything's carried on their head with the amazing amount of balance. I mean, they look you straight in the eye. You see them. And when I went over to Java, everything's covered on their back, and they look at the ground. And it was just, that was the thing that came away. And I got back to Australia in those days, and I heard a baby cry, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I've been in Bali for 3 months living, and I've never heard a baby cry. And it,
oh, you're right.
Babies,
you're absolutely
babies
right.
Babies are held for the first 6 months by members of the family, little children, grandparents. They don't touch the ground. They don't consider themselves earth. I mean, they're angels until they're put on the ground in a ceremony. And there were just these wonderful little things that were just like I took with me. I just, you know, they're part of who I am, came from being in Bali.
Wonderful. And, wonderful diversity. Thank you, Trish, for calling in. Thanks for connecting in.
Yeah, Bagus.
Thank you.
As they say.
Well, he'll be stateside. Hopefully we'll keep in touch and let everyone know.
Alan
is back in Santa Fe.
All right, I'll sign off right now. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was wonderful.
Yes.
Sharing.
Yes, the lady really had a Bali experience. Her observations are very correct, very true.
Yeah. Let's see. Another call here. Let's see. On Awakening 408-561. You're on Awakening. Hello. Oh, we just lost Alan.
Hello. Hi. I'm actually
Hello.
New to the show.
You're new to the show? Okay.
Yes, and I actually have a question regarding astrology.
Okay. I'm trying to get Alan back on. We just lost him on the Skype.
Okay.
What's your question for Alan?
My question is, I guess when it comes to, like, psychic abilities or whatnot, if a person is, I guess you could say, a medium in mm-hmm. the astrology charts, but they're not developed yet or they're not aware about it, does time matter, or is it more about the individual, even if it's in their chart? Or if they're not a medium according to their charts, can they be one? Like, can they learn how to be one?
Okay. I would, let's see. I'm trying to get him back on the Skype. I do not know what happened. Let's see what. We're calling him from Portugal, so the phone is a little, let's see, add to conference, not yet. Now, you're saying, tell me your name again.
My name is Ronell.
Ronell, okay. And you're saying if the...
I guess it's like, can you learn being a medium, or do you have to be born to be one?
I would, let's see, okay, let me see what, if I can get him here. Hold on a second. Hello? Is it Rael?
No, it's Ronell.
Ronell. I would say it would show up in the chart. Why are you? You can definitely learn to do that. You can definitely learn to be a medium. I don't know. Okay. We've lost him on the chat. I can't believe it. We've lost.
Well, you can go to the next caller, and when he comes back, you can ask the question for me.
Okay, and you want to know from a psychic medium point of view, you can learn to do that, but I would say just like any gift, let's say being mm-hmm. Playing piano or, anything, or any skill, even designing, it's going to be a little bit different. The level and the depth is going to be a little bit different than each person is going to be a little bit different, so
right.
It depends on what degree or what level that you want to do that. And it depends also how much, energy you put into it. In other words, some people are born a Mozart, so they would have a certain, level of skill or talent or innate. So it depends innately if it's a full part of your path. Does that answer?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's see. So now we're trying to call another number. Okay, great. And hello, 111, you're on Awakenings. Looks like a Skype number. Hello? You're on Awakenings. Okay, maybe you're just listening. Okay. And any other questions? So, trying to call him back. Somehow we lost the connection there. And anyhow,
uma chamada foi reencaminhada para o serviço de mensagens da TV Cabo. Chegou à caixa de correio de 309973.
Oh, I love Mercury retrograde. Okay, obviously that's not going to work. Okay. Obviously that's not going to work. Okay. What a wonderful being, though. What a wonderful, wonderful being. Okay. So how is everyone doing? Trying to get him back. So let's see, we have another call here. Let's see. Hello, 310-480, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle, it's Lynn. I was listening, and I'll just hope we get Alan back.
I know.
Yes,
love
the...
Huh?
The retrograde is real.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And especially this one, like he said, has been a bit nasty. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what's been going on with that, but...
Great. His comments have been just fabulous confirmation about a lot of things, too. The importance of being our true, full, and authentic self as being so critical to really tapping in and contributing, all that we have to do. Everyone else is taken. We need to be ourselves.
Yeah, I love that, too. I love that. And being individuated, but not overly individual or cutting off,
Exactly. Exactly. So perfect. We'll hope we get him back.
Yes, me too. Me too.
Blessings.
Blessings to you.
Yeah.
Hello, 334-365, you're on Awakenings.
Being individuated.
Hi. Let me just click you off so I can
individual or cutting off.
I can hear you on the phone. I'm listening to you on the radio, on the computer.
Yes, me too.
And I didn't know you were going to come in so quick. How are you?
Quickly. I'm doing great. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Queen Gatsu Okus.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Wait, now I can hear you better, yes.
You're speaking with Queen Goddess Uokis.
Hello,
and
Queen
I'm
Goddess.
Calling because I was listening to, I guess it was another caller, talking about Bali, and
yes.
Well, your guest is wonderful. And I was interested in the type of astrology that he does, but another guest called and said something about Bali being formed by artisans. And that was, for me, a confirmation, a revelation, because I'm an artisan, and I love Bali. I love Thailand, but I had no idea that Bali, and I love the arts of Bali, that it was formed by artisans who, like, left the mainland or something. And I just found that very interesting. And since you were looking for space fillers, I just thought I would call and comment on that.
Thank you. And I was looking for what?
Space fillers, since your guest was disconnected.
Disconnected, yeah, from, where is he, Portugal. It just kind of, poof, and I can't, and when I call back, it's some kind of recording.
Well, you know, life is full of challenges, and you just don't know what's around the next bend sometimes. You think it's, you know, the same street you've been going down all the time, and then, wow, there's a traffic jam or you know, there's a parade going on or whatever. So life is like that, and that's just what we're here to learn and what you teach about. And I'm sure some of what he was probably talking about, the variables.
Absolutely.
and being
the variables and the Mercury retrograde that's been in his word, nasty, which has been, it's true. It's, this one has been a test. Most of them just kind of fly by, but this one has been pretty
is there a particular
testy.
Reason why this one is more challenging than a
I
lot
don't
of-
know if anybody I know this, that we're it's in Taurus.
Well, that's
just a
stubborn bull.
Yeah, which is an earth sign. It's interesting. I would think that it would be more challenging in let's say Gemini, something that is ruled as by Mercury as well, and which also rules communication. But
we are
so
in Gemini, so that could play some have some significance because
Yeah, not technically. I don't know. It's very interesting. Let's see if I can get him on the there he is. If I can add him into this, add to conference. I'm going to try to conference him in another way. Boy, if you could see what's behind the scenes with two computers going and trying to get.
I'm a BTR hostess, so I know.
Oh, you know.
No, I've been there. I know, and it's very it's very interesting and life expanding to get through a show with all the other elements that are going on that the audience doesn't have a clue, and to keep cool about it too. You know,
Ellen, are you? Excuse me, one sec. Are you on the air, Ellen? Okay, it says that I have him on, but add to calls, but not. Let's see if it comes through. Well, I definitely want to have him back on anyway when they do the launch of his Infinite Quest site with John Edward. I think that'll be, you know, amazing from what he was speaking about it. You know, we're needing more tools. We're needing more people to help with getting the message out, and also for people, especially advanced light workers, to be able to go to get information, you know.
I hear you. Well, they're manifesting and awakening, the name of your show, an awakening, at a rapid pace. It's happening. So we have all we need at any given moment, even in a Mercury retrograde. It's all available to us. It's just remembering and staying awake and drawing
I think
upon what we have.
Pardon me, Queen, what did you say?
I don't know what you heard, but take it. Remembering we have everything at any given moment.
Yes, yes. And staying awake in the challenges. I think that's a big part of it for everyone. You know, even when the appearance seems to be on the outside that something is not happening or is contrary to what we're hoping for, knowing that, you know, divine spirit, if you will, the all that is it's all being worked in a way that is for the greater good, always is. Maybe not to our liking in the present moment, but in that infinite moment, things are being reworked.
No doubt, and that's a major key, no doubt. You know, the other person that called in was also talking about the children and the how she never heard a child cry, and the other people who walk with the burdens, the weight on their back, and the ones that walk with it on their head, standing tall. And that just made me think about how we approach life, how we and the significance of what we put into the children, because the children that didn't cry, you know, they were like, as she said, angels, and they were fed and nourished in a very royal manner, like we do in this country to some extent, pushing them around in a shopping cart in a carriage, whereas the other people seem to carry more of a burden, which would be imposed and injected into their children. So what we feed the children determines the way we create the world as well, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. Part of it, don't you find too, it's what we feed, you know, internally also, as well as what we're feeding, you know, the foods externally. But I think it's a lot of it is the mindset. What is the mindset that we're co-creating with ourselves and with the children? You know what, that determines a lot, that consciousness, what we're allowing, just like she was saying, you know, that her son seeing guides and just being present to that, you know, instead of saying, oh no, you're not, you know.
Oh, that happens a lot. Your creativity and your intuition gets stifled as a child in this society, in this culture, whereas other cultures where it's the norm, they probably look like where they're looking for the Buddha. They're looking for the children that have the gifts, and to respect the children as to who they are, because from my perspective, they come in as teachers all the time. And as you said, what you feed yourself, that's crucial. That's definitely crucial. And even what he was saying about, you know, eating meat and not eating meat and that kind of thing, it's a personal experience, because everyone's molecular structure, their will, their constitution, all of that, we are each individuals, and we have different needs at different times, and to be able to recognize by going within what our body needs at this moment in time. You may be a vegetarian for 20 years, and somewhere in your akashic, whatever, your life path, in the past life or something, there's something that needed to be healed. And that meat, that
just happened to me. I agree with you. I so agree with you. That just happened to me, actually. So I think we're learning, you know, the adaptability and the flexibility of the Aquarian age, and it's the Aquarian age and beyond, is really to listen to that inner directive, whatever, you know, is being relayed to you, and how to listen to that, how to tune into that, how to dial into that, I think is going to be really a key. It's going to be a key precedence for now and many years to come. I mean, when I say that, Queen, I'm meaning also collectively, because again, many of us are already doing this, but I think it's going to become more and more important. I even see it being taught more in school, you know, and people say, instead of saying, well, follow this route, or this is the way to get this or that, it's, you know, what's right for you, what's right for the individual, what's right for your gifts, your talents, you know, your way of being, your character, your focus, your path, if you will.
It is taught in school. I can testify to that on occasions, and I'm sure it will happen in the future, because I just put it out to the universe.
Trying again. Let's see if we get I've had two different ways going. So you say it is happening in school.
Because artisan, when I go in, even though they give you guidelines, and on some occasions they give you freedom.
No.
Alan.
Yeah.
We missed you. It's Awakenings again. I don't know what happened.
Well, we just got disconnected, you know. It's Mercury retrograde.
I know. And we've had wonderful Queen on the line. We've been talking kind of about our evolutionary path and kind of reiterating a little bit of what you were mentioning of, you know, having to have that that center, being individually centered.
Yeah.
So how are you?
I'm fine. While we were off the phone, I was preparing dinner.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
It's 9 o'clock here.
Ah. Are you the European? Did you get aligned to that of eating later?
Always, yes.
You did?
Yes, always. Because here in Portugal, you have a croissant and coffee or something like that for breakfast, and then you have lunch around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then around 5 you have a teeny snack, and then around 9 or so you have dinner.
You have your larger meal, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I lived for a while in England and Italy, and France actually, France too.
Well, the further south you go, the later the dinner times become. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was amazing. In Italy, sometimes 10 o'clock at night, you know, and
definitely.
A two-hour, you know, meal. Of course, a lot of times they take off between 3:30 and 5 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could do over here well with the States integrating some of their routine.
Well, I remember I was giving a weekend workshop, and I was supposed to, at 8 o'clock, you know, no, 9 o'clock. I was supposed to address after dinner, and dinner didn't end until 11:30. So I started my lecture at 11:30, and by 1 in the morning, I said to everybody, well, I think it's time we packed it in. That's what happened here.
Well, Alan, we have just a few remaining minutes losing you, but I just definitely want to have you back, especially when after the launch, and
mm-hmm.
Refresh my memory again. When are you coming back to the States? You have it.
Well, officially April 1st.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're.
Yes, but I may come earlier. It all depends on certain circumstances. I may come back as early as the middle of January, but for all intents and purposes, April 1st is the date.
Okay. And, of course, you're traveling a lot this year, the remainder of this year.
Yes. I go to Israel in about 12 days, and then I come back here for 4 weeks, and then I go to Indonesia for 2 months, and then I'll come back here for 2 months, and then I'll go back to Indonesia.
Okay. Now, one of the things in my little multitasking, checking email, I did have some emails in regards to people that wanted to study with you. Is that possible? Do you have programs or...
Well, at the moment, I'm rather busy. They can come. Yes, for those who can come to Portugal, I'm giving a 6-day seminar beginning on the 9th of July until the 16th of July. I'm teaching full-centered astrology for a solid week, and there are about 12 or 15 people coming from all over the world, really. To here to Lisbon to study with me. And then, so that's the week that I'm doing it. If people want more information about that, they can just go to alanoken.com or connect with me at alanoken@att.net about the week in Portugal. Then after that, I can't make any commitments to folks because I'm going to be doing a lot of intercontinental traveling before coming back to the United States. And once I'm back in the States, then I'll be holding seminars in Santa Fe.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. So we'll just keep that, in mind. I put in the chat the two websites, infinitequest.com, which launches June 12th. And then,
yes,
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your personal website, alanoken.com. And we'll keep in touch, Awakenings listeners, those that are listening from Cosmic Dimensions and the other podcast stations as well as iTunes. Just keep in touch with me, and I will have a link up as to where you can reach Alan.
Well, you're a sister, and I can feel that, and I certainly appreciate the time you've spent with me and allowing me to share what I made with our friends who are listening and, you know, over the wavelength.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Alan. Thanks for taking the time to share with us. Really appreciate you being on Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Blessings. Okay, well, I'll say buona noite, which is good night. Buona noite.
A biento.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you all for bearing with the interesting techie changes. And thank you, Queen, for calling in, hearing the call, and holding the space for me.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. Well, I think I need a little thunder beat, so I'm going to play a little thunder beat while we cruise out of the time slot here that we've had connecting together. Appreciate all of you. It's great. I appreciate the calls when you call in. It's just wonderful to hear everybody and hear what your, you know, awakenings is like and what your insight is and is in your path. I just love it. I love hearing so much wisdom, too, in the chat room. So much wisdom. And great to connect with all of you. And, oh, and if you want updates as far as what's going on, you can, my newsletter, you can email me at michelle@selfandlight.com or info@selfandlight.com. There's a link on the Awakenings page. Or tweet me at Awakenings Tweet if you want updates or just to say hello or share what's going on with you. I'd love to hear how your world is evolving and how all of you are doing on your path. And until next time, you guys, just keep shining your light. Keep awake. Thanks so much for being here. Talk to you all later. See you, Queen.